The Wally Show podcast is our daily radio show heard live through the WayFM app each morning and hosted by Wally, Gavin, and me, Betty Rock. For more fun, be sure to connect with us at wayfm.com/Wally.
The Wally Show podcast is brought to you by Colorado Christian University Online, where Wally teaches and where you can earn a degree online just like Betty Rock. You can learn more at ccu.edu/Wally. This podcast is also brought to you by United Faith Mortgage. Let their direct lender advantage save you time and money.
Uplifting WayFM.
Stories served with a side of Southern sass.
You're breaking my hair!
I mean charm. Here's Betty Rock.
When finding yourself in a new relationship, it's easy to overlook the red flags that might signal themselves.
Yeah, I'm surprised at how many people do this early on. You excuse some things away, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden you're a year down going, how did I not see this? Oh, you did.
Yeah, you're just blinded by love.
Yeah.
So a poll was put together of behaviors that can happen at the beginning of a relationship that may come across to some as okay and some not okay.
I'm curious because I haven't dated in so long. Like, if all of a sudden I found myself in the dating pool again, like, I'm curious if I would be a red flag or a green flag. Based on just how I am. Don't even, Betty's got mute. She's like, I know which flag you would be.
Moving on. Okay, I'm going to give you a situation. You tell me if you think this came across as a green flag or a red flag.
Got it.
Giving small gifts early on.
Oh, man.
Red flag because maybe you're like showing too much interest and it might freak her out, like a car. Like, hey, I know I just met you and it's our first date. Here's a car.
That's, well, that's not a small gift.
That's a massive gift.
Yeah.
If it were one of those types of things, yeah I'd be, okay. Well, I'd take the car and run.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
Okay.
I think green flag.
Okay.
It was green flag.
Really? Okay.
Most people said it was a green flag.
Little gifts, maybe some flowers here or there or a snake.
No.
What is wrong?
Once again.
See, I told you I would do so badly
you
at this.
You would be so bad.
All right. Consistently seeing a therapist. Was that a green flag or a red flag?
Oh, for me, it's a red flag.
Okay. I think that normally I feel like I'm a little bit more, not accepting, but like understanding of it. I think I'd be a little bit weirded out. I'd say red flag.
Is it red flag?
It's a green
flag.
No! Yes, because you are getting help for your own mental health.
It means you need help, and I've got to fix you.
All of us need help.
No,
like, you need help, but you won't accept it.
This is where, like, being so in tune with your senses is probably not the best thing to lead with. It's like, oh, my therapist says on date one, no.
Anyway.
Hide you crazy for a minute.
Oh my gosh. Just because you see a therapist doesn't mean that you're crazy. It just means that you're human.
I know, but I'm just talking about in dating.
Talking about making long-term plans the very beginning.
That's a red flag, and I would do that. I would be like, hey, real quick, you know, like, what's a great name for kids? You know, like, make me your first kid.
Well, you're right on that one.
That
and only that one. It is a red flag.
Wow, I did not do well, so...
Here's
please.
Hoping you never have to go back into
please,
the dating pool.
Honey, don't die before me. I know you're listening. I'm begging you, live longer than me, please, because this would not go well. Uplifting Way FM, this is The Wally Show, and Betty Rock is kind of our social ninja. She is constantly doing our Facebook and Instagram, and so she's up on all the memes and the trends inside of that. And I think you hit on a really good idea here.
Yeah, I thought, how could we make memes more audible? And so I thought I would take like a little snippet of a song that we play here at WayFM and then put situations to them and see what you think. And maybe this will make it, because you know, memes always start with wins, blah, 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 blah. And then it's a picture of something that's really funny. But today's example is going to be Tasha Layton's Look What You've Done.
Look what you've done.
This is a great song.
And
I could see so many applications for this.
Right. So, of course, she's aiming it towards God. But in audible memes, it's going to be towards other people. So my first example is when you get out of the car after someone hit your bumper.
Look what you've done.
Yeah, that works. That totally works. I could see doing this.
How about when your hairdresser turns you around to see your new cut and it's awful.
Look what you've done.
That one gets a little more personal. Like the first one's, look what you done. Then that one's like, look what you did to me.
And finally, when you've heard all your life, love makes you gain weight. So you look at your husband and you say,
look what you've done. Look what you've done.
Yeah, well, my hair's falling out, so we're even. All right, so Audible memes. There is the end to the Audible meme. Look what you've done. Look what you've done to me. Sung better.
Wow, yeah, a lot better.
I didn't hit any of the notes there. I pride myself on that. And so what would the first setup be if you were going to do an Audible meme to look what you've done? What would your first scenario be? Like, you know, when you go to the hairdresser and get a bad haircut, look what you've done. I'm curious what yours would be. 855-33-WAY-FM. We'll take it for a test drive and see how it lands. 855-33-WAY-FM. What is your first sentence that would elicit that response?
When you're at the gas pump and you see a picture of Joe Biden.
Look what you've done. Look what you've done in me.
Okay, it's funny because I have a friend that is a diehard Democrat, and she actually carries a scraper in her car so that anytime anyone does that on a gas pump, she scrapes it off.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We're battling this thing for sure these days. That's a good
That's
one,
hilarious.
Ronnie. Thank you, brother.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thanks for all the emails I'm going to get today in response.
Yeah.
Look what you've done. Look what you've done in me.
So what is your first statement?
So when you come home from work and the puppy that you adopted during the pandemic has spread the trash all over the floor.
Look what you've done.
Yeah, see, it works perfectly for that. And you can't really tell the puppy, I could take you back.
No, that's terrible.
Because you can. You can't do that with kids.
No, don't do that to the puppy.
Okay,
no.
I'm just saying, because then as you put him in the car and you're like, you're going back.
Look what you've done.
That could be him this time. Okay.
Jess, you're doing a good deed.
Oh, Wally, you're mean.
It's my spiritual gift.
Oh, my gosh.
See you, Jess.
Have a good one.
All right, Nick, you're up. What would your Audible meme to look what you've done be?
So my wife has actually used this a couple times. Each time we found out we were pregnant with our kid. And we have 5 kids.
Oh.
Look what you've done.
I've heard that one a few times.
Yeah, I do love how that's all your fault.
Yeah, totally.
Name it and claim it.
Name it and claim it.
Claim it.
Uplifting Way of Him, this is The Wally Show, and from time to time, people ask us to name different things for them, kind of give their items a personality, and normally, it's Betty Rock and I naming it, and Gavin judging it, and if we each decide to stay with our own choice that we like better, then Gavin is the tiebreaker, and so now, Betty Rock, you will sit in Gavin's role.
I like it.
Because this is more in Gavin's wheelhouse. Dear Wally, Betty Rock, and Gavin, my name is Joshua. I've been an avid listener to your radio show for about 8 years now. I've also been a potty for a year, or for 4 years. Wow. And I have a name it and claim it for you. I've only been driving for about a year now. I just recently got my driver's license.
Nice.
And since I started driving, I've been driving my dad's old blue Toyota Prius. And I've been driving a lot lately, so I think my car needs a name. I love Marvel, Lord of the Rings books, and movies. I also love the TV show Psych. Hopefully that's enough references for you to go through. And that's why Gavin is doing this, because Gavin is more in the Marvel, Lord of the Rings realm. Okay, so he's all excited. I'm going to let Gavin go first here, okay, because you're excited. So bring it strong, Gavin. There's a lot of pressure in this name. Go.
I think I've been building this up for a while now. And I think that the true Marvel Lord of the Rings lovers will love this one. So,
okay.
I'm combining Marvel and Lord of the Rings in my name. In Marvel, you've got Captain America. He's got a shield. And, you know, Captain America is known for being blue. The Toyota Prius is blue.
Okay.
His shield is made out of an item or an element called vibranium.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
You are so nerding out right now.
I know.
I love it.
I don't know how many people get this. And then you go over to Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
One of the main characters' names is Aragorn. Later becomes the king of Gondor.
Could care less. Like, do you hear yourself
I know.
Okay, I just want to know if you've heard
it. And then the dragon comes.
Yeah, and then he chases him with his sword.
It's so cool.
This is why I'm doing it, though. But
I know.
His original role is that of a ranger.
Okay.
So I'm calling this vehicle the Vibranium Ranger.
Yes, it's the Vibranium Ranger. It'll be known thusly throughout all eternity.
That sounds
so
awesome.
Cool. That's so cool.
I love it.
All right, Vibranium. You're going to call it like Rick or something.
Okay, no. So it's a car. You've been watching F1, so I wish you were judging this because I think you would go with this.
Oh, I'm excited.
You know, so I thought A Prius is kind of a nerdy car, so it needs to be reinvented. Lewis Hamilton is one of the world's best Formula One drivers, and he drives a Mercedes, not a Prius. No one's driving that.
I don't know.
And so I thought, in honor of Lewis Hamilton, you could name the car Prius Hamilton. And then I thought, well, that's not going to be good. I always have options in case I see your face.
Of course you do.
So then I thought, you know, a Prius is good for the environment, and there is a Marvel character who is basically a tree and would support and appreciate his name being used in this way. And so I think Groot is a great sounding name for the car. Groot. So that's what I'm going with. I'm going to stick with Groot.
Okay. So I get to judge on who I think. I'm guessing neither of you want to go to each other's side.
I appreciate yours, but no, I worked hard on mine.
Oh, I know you did. You know what? I gave up dating, and I gave up going out, and I gave up hanging with my friends and playing Dungeons and Dragons. I did that all for me.
And because of that sacrifice, I'm going with Gavin.
No! Yes!
It's creative. It's geeky. And I love it.
And me and all my friends said, huzzah! Nicely done.
Coffee shops, poolside, back porch, picnic table at the park, at your kid's soccer practice. Just about anywhere can be your classroom when you decide to go back to school online at Colorado Christian University.
I know I got my degree online, and I actually did a homework at a campsite. I was sitting around a campfire writing a paper. That is where I did some of my work that weekend. So life doesn't have to stop just because you go back to school to better yourself. You can work towards this future and this goal that you want to accomplish, and it doesn't have to totally consume you or derail your normal life with friends, your family, or what have you.
And you can earn accredited degrees from Colorado Christian without ever setting foot on campus.
So there really shouldn't be an excuse to not going back to school. If it's something you really want to do, you can do it. And all you have to do is go to ccu.edu/Wally to learn more. And the other really important thing is that Colorado Christian is committed to cultivating the mind without compromising the heart. So check it out, ccu.edu/Wally.
Uplifting WayFM.
Here's what's going on today.
This is the Wally Show, and parents try to come up with creative punishments, you know, to really teach their kids lessons. And now Tennessee has something for drunk drivers that I think really drives home the severity of their actions, you know, because you look at so many repeat offenders and how they seem to get a slap on the wrist and move on, even though they might have decimated somebody's family, you know, and it's a serious problem. Well, Tennessee passed a bill that would require drunk drivers to pay child support if they end up killing the parent of a minor in the car accident.
Wow. Whoa.
And you're like, okay, now we got something.
I like that.
Yeah, I do too. Like, each child victim would receive restitution until they're 18 years old and graduate high school.
Yeah.
And I'm like, because, I mean, they've lost a parent. Their lives have turned upside down. Who knows what happens to them? And this is the punishment that you realize now. Man, my actions had a lifelong action and an effect on other people. The payments, they say, are similar to traditional child support. You know, basically the payments would be determined by the financial needs and resources of the child and the surviving parent or guardian, including the state. If the defendant was incarcerated and was unable to pay, when they got out, they have a year to start paying and they have to make it right.
Wow.
Fascinating.
Well, you've had experience with the whole, not that you've been in jail, but you have known people that have.
Right.
Do you think that this is even possible for them to pay child support once they get out of prison?
It depends. For some people, it's not. It takes a year to get your life even remotely back on track, and that's part of the broken system, too. But I think the idea for this is, you know, because some people go for 3 months to jail, you know, and then they're back out and using again, you know. But here's the other thing on this, because I know that's all like all kind of negative, but I think it's just super creative. But you'd never know how things happen. Like, maybe this has an effect where this person's writing checks every month and they've realized, okay, I messed up and I messed up this person's life. And it has an effect on them. It changes them. And in a weird way, like, I could actually see relationships formed instead of anger and resentment and hate. When you deal with something personally with people, there a lot of times you can get to a place where you can not necessarily settle it, because it's never settled or healed, but it could actually be a positive interaction for both sets of people.
So I agree.
It'd be interesting to see if this ends up being a thing that goes nationwide, but on the surface, I really like this idea. Uplifting Way FM, this is The Wally Show. Keela, what's going on?
I just wanted to kind of chime in on what you were talking about just now about passing the law about paying child support if a drunk driver...
Yeah, if a drunk driver kills the parent of a minor, the law in Tennessee is that they have to pay child support, which I think is a good idea. What do you think?
I do. My dad was killed by a drunk driver when I was 6. My sister was not even a year old. So we've missed out our whole life because of a drunk driver. He went to prison for like 2 or 3 years. My grandparents sued him, and we got money when we were 18, but that still didn't give us back our dad.
Right. It doesn't solve the loss, but it could at least help offset some of the financials of growing
up. It did. My sister got to experience a lot of things with a single mom that she probably would not have because of that financial help.
Let me ask you this, as somebody who's been through this, if somebody was making that restitution, you know, on a monthly basis and had a life change even after committing a horrible crime, do you think that you could find that place to forgive them and maybe even, because they have, you know, taken certain steps, have a relationship with them?
I could nowadays. I mean, back then I didn't understand. All I knew was that my dad was killed.
Well, I appreciate you chiming in on this, Keela. Thank you so much.
Thanks. You guys have a wonderful day. I enjoy you every morning. I do hospice, and you guys get me through my day.
Uplifting Way FM, this is The Wally Show, and I'm so glad that God is big enough to handle our doubts, our fears, our questions, but sometimes we're afraid to ask him because of what other people are going to think of us, and that's the case with this email I got. It says, hey, I enjoy the questions you guys post on your Facebook, and I wanted to post mine on my personal wall, but I don't feel I really can. I'm a pastor's wife, and I think people would judge this. So she says, I've been struggling with this for quite a while. The questions are, is God still good even when a situation doesn't work out the way you thought or imagined? Or is God still good when the situation turns out worse than you desired? This has been tough for me to walk through. I get this because I think a lot of us live in this place at some point in time where we're like, you pray for something and it doesn't go the way you want it to go. And you're like, well, how is God good? You know,
especially if you're praying for something that isn't a bad thing.
Right. Or you're praying for somebody else, you know, and you're like, you want them to be healed or you want them to be happy. And, you know, like, I mean, I pray for Betty and her, you know, a dating life. I pray for my daughter and her career. And you're like, how could these things not be, you know, answered? It's so simple, you know, but what I've learned, and this was part of what I had told her, I said, you know, I had to come to the realization when I struggled with this question is the first step for me was deciding the character of God. Did I believe that God was truly good and that he truly gave a rip about me and my life? Or is he some cold, narcissistic entity that it doesn't matter? And because there are days I felt that, you know, and then I started to realize I just saw more evidence that God was good, you know, and I settled that question. So now if I believe you're good, if I believe you have your best interest for me, what does that look like? And then that's where I had to kind of unpack more of this.
And I think that's a good lesson because I had a friend once tell me, like, you know, you're always picking option C. There's only option A, option B. A is he's good.
Right.
B, he's bad. And so you either have to believe the Bible in whole, you can't believe it in part.
Right.
So the Bible says he's good. So if we believe that we are saved, that he was resurrected and rose from the dead, well, then we have to believe he is good as well because the Bible says it.
So here's the thing. I wrote a whole response to her, and it was she thanked me for my lengthy response.
Oh, boy.
Usually I do fast emails. And so if you want to see it, it's at wayfm.com. I'd love to have you read it, and you can comment there as well. The other part of this, though, is I'd love right now to discuss how you've answered that question, maybe in your own life of, is God good or how can God be good when things don't look right? Maybe it's through scripture. Maybe it's through experience. Maybe it's through advice, something you've heard. I'd love to know your thoughts on this as well. 855-33-WAY-FM is the number. That's 855-33-WAY-FM, and we'll take yours now. How did you settle this in your own life? Because I think it's a big question we all wrestle with. Even Pastor Chad from our prayer wall at wayfm.com walked in to have this discussion. It's kind of in his wheelhouse as the prayer pastor. So what do you think?
Well, I have teenage daughters that went through depression and a lot of other things. And in my mind, it was no matter what I did, no matter how I tried, I saw the mistakes happening and what happened to their lives and places. And I kept thinking, you know, it's like with God, the fact that we go through things as children and teenagers is not proof that they didn't have parents that cared and were there and were trying to help them. It was just a free will and a world that just turns the way it turns sometimes.
I really like that perspective. I've never heard it put quite that way.
I've been very blessed with how they turned out, but boy, some days you just have to trust that God looks at us the same way. Well, you know, sometimes it's just free will.
Well, Sandra, I appreciate you weighing in on this. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
I know this is a question that a lot of people have wrestled with, myself included. And so I wrote this lady back a big response. And if you want to see it, see if I missed anything or something you would add to it, you're more than welcome to comment. Just text the word doubt, D-O-U-B-T, doubt, to 91979. We'll send you a link. Madison, while we got you here, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this.
So my husband went through a year-long battle with cancer last year. And there were multiple times that I really doubted, it was God good? Was this going to end in victory? And I didn't know, and I really wrestled with it. And for me personally, what it came down to is I had turned my husband being healed from cancer into an idol. I had decided that I wanted, like the Natalie Grant song says, I wanted the healing more than I wanted the healer.
Oh, yeah, this song here, this is a great one.
Help me want the healer more than the healing. Help me want the savior more than the saving.
Here's the thing about this. You're not praying for anything bad. You're not praying for something selfish. You're praying for a loved one who's sick. So, like, that's where those prayers, when they don't get answered, you're like, why, God, why couldn't you just throw a little help at this one? It's not going to hurt anybody, you know, but there's such a bigger plan in play that we just don't see.
I find praying for healing at times is the hardest thing because we don't know what healing looks like. And sometimes our prayers are so specific that we don't have any wiggle room for God to actually answer it in the way he wants to answer it. We want it just specifically through our eyes, how we see it.
I kind of weighed in on that. It's good that Pastor Chad is here because, like, he knows more about this stuff than I do. He actually has a degree. I just wing it. But, like, it was one of the points. I was like, perspective is vital.
Yeah.
God sees healing completely differently than we do. God sees pain differently than we do because he sees a purpose in all of it that is bringing people to him. And where I used to think that was complete narcissism, it was, no, it's like, I want people to know me and spend eternity with me.
Yeah.
And maybe this is how it happens. That whole Bible verse about all things work together for good isn't always for what feels good for us, but it's for a greater good. Madison, how's your husband today?
Well, we got the earthly healing. He's been cancer-free for almost one whole year. And that's what my prayer had to change to was, I knew God was going to heal him. I had to change my perspective and say, God's going to heal him, whether it's earth side or heaven side. His body will be restored.
Yep, that's it. That's exactly the perspective we're talking about. Well, Madison, thanks so much for sharing your story with us.
Well, thank you.
Again, if you want to see the whole article, just text the word doubt, D-O-U-B-T, to 91979, and we'll send you a link. You may have heard your kids talking about FOMO, the fear of missing out, and thought, I'm an adult. I'm not affected by this. Hey, it's Wally, and if you were thinking about lowering your monthly mortgage payments or cashing out some of the equity in your house by refinancing, you might have thought, oh, I've missed out, but that's not the case. I was talking to my United Faith mortgage guy, Ryan, the other day, because I just did a cash out refinance with them, and I was curious, with rates ticking up a little bit, if it was still a good time to take advantage of the higher property values we have.
People are just super, super rate conscious because it's been all over the news for the past 2-3 years how low rates have been. So when they see rates increasing a little bit, they're hesitant, but it still makes sense.
I bought my house 9 years ago, and I did the cash out refinance with United Faith Mortgage. And here's the crazy thing. I kept putting it off, and I didn't even catch interest rates at their lowest, but I was still able to pull a ton of money out of my house and keep my payments the same. So see what they can do for you. United Faith Mortgage. Start online. Call anytime. UnitedFaithMortgage.com.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp, 25 Meadow Park Road, Melbourne, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to animalistconsumeraccess.org. Corporate Animalist number 1330. Equal housing lender. Licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Utah.
Uplifting Way FM.
News can be a little heavy, so we like to do news-ish. Here's Gavin.
I think that most people's vehicles hold a special place in their heart. Not everyone does it, but some of us even name our cars.
I
Betty.
Do.
Yeah.
Jubal. His name is Jubal, after a character on the Andy Griffith
and
Show.
And a really obscure, random character on Andy Griffith, which I love. That's what I love about you.
Does your truck have a name?
We named it one time, and like people came up with like 10 really great names, and I never adopted one, unfortunately.
What?
I know. I just never did.
There's still time.
I know. I do need to name my truck.
And mine is named Cosmo, because he's Cosmo Blue. Oh. But I read an article today that says that over half of us say that our car can also represent our personality.
Sure. I think people do buy cars based on their personality.
That's what this article said. And so they had a couple of examples of certain vehicles and what they mean for that person. So an SUV means that you're a family-oriented person.
Okay, I've had one of those.
I thought a minivan would say that.
Oh, yeah. Minivan means you've given up on the SUV.
The hatchback driver believes that they are loyal and reliable as a person.
I wonder why. Ooh. I wonder what the hatchback does for that.
I guess it's like a very... It's like a good vehicle with just a little extra
A little
storage.
Extra room, yeah. Maybe you could, like, if you need to move something, I can help you with that. Not a truck, but...
No.
Do you have a sedan on there? Because Betty Rock has a four-door, like, just normal sedan.
That one was actually not on here, and...
No one cared about that
That's
one.
What I was...
Hey!
That part of me was wondering, because they're so simple.
They're so boring.
Hey!
Okay. The 4x4 drivers, you're manly men.
Yes, that's us.
Thank you.
No, yours isn't a 4x4.
It's close. It's 2x2.
It's 1x1.
Okay, so I'll be half of whatever this is.
Half.
Yeah. Whatever he says, I'll be half of it.
0.5x4.
They're the adventurers who are ready to go anywhere, anytime, half the time for you.
Yeah, half the time. The other half of the time, I'm going to be at the nail salon. So, could go either way. FM, this is the Wally Show. Without thinking, I want you to answer this question. If they could bring dinosaurs back from extinction a la Jurassic Park, would you want them? Betty Rock, go.
No! No!
Gavin?
I think yes, because in the movies they have really dumb people who let them out. I think we'd be smarter than that.
No, you put too much faith in the general public.
I want to see a T-Rex.
Yeah, that I disagree with you that we would be responsible.
No, not
absolutely
at all.
Not.
Come on.
We would find a way to make them pets, like, and somebody would have one in their house.
It's a bad idea all the way around. Have you seen Jurassic Park, Jurassic World, Jurassic 2, Jurassic 3?
It's like Tiger King on.
It's a bad idea.
The crazy thing is, there are people that, have actually
pterodactyls come
thought
out
about
of the
this.
Sky.
I know. They've actually thought about this, when they find bones and stuff, and, can we do it?
No.
It'd be fascinating if we could.
No.
Yeah.
We can say, yes, we could, and we are not going to do
but
it.
But should we? Yeah.
I think we would.
There's a survey that actually about a third of us said that they want scientists to bring extinct animals back using genetic science. So,
we don't need your opinion.
I'm kind of in that camp. I'd like to see one.
Well, you're going to get eaten.
I know. First, probably.
Yes.
I'd go to pet it. So in the spirit of that, though, since we're not bringing back dinosaurs, even though we would love to, what is something from the past you would love to resurrect? Okay, maybe it's a fad that you'd like to see come back, or a food that you'd love to see come back.
And there are some things, unfortunately, I'm seeing come back in the fad category, like mullets.
Yeah.
Mullets are making a comeback.
Bell bottoms.
Should they?
Everything's cyclical.
I don't know.
Yeah, everything is like that. So I am curious. You have a chance to bring something back from extinction and welcome it back to Jurassic World or whatever. welcome to Jurassic Park. So what would your Jurassic Park thing be that you bring back? 855-33-WAY-FM. Now, we're not talking dinosaurs. Other things. 855-33-WAY-FM. We'll take yours right now. What is something other than dinosaurs you would like to see brought back?
The preppy look.
Really? With the pop collar and everything?
Yeah, the suit, the penny loafers. I mean, that was 100 years ago when I was in college, but at least we looked decent.
That is true. Like I didn't like that look because I couldn't afford that look, and I was like a surf kid. But I always thought, man, those people, they look good, but they spent a lot of money to do it.
Candy, you said that the preppy look is actually made kids back then look decent. How would you describe kids nowadays? How do they look?
I have to go there?
Are you going with homeless?
I'm going to say indecent. Like, just wear some clothes that you're like, what in the world?
Yes. Like, thank you. I don't really care to see what color your underwear is. Or
I get that.
Did you put those holes in those clothes on purpose? Or did you just, you know, have had them for 40 years?
Now, I have a pair of jeans that's ripping at the knee. I've had it for a while, and they're starting to fray. And it's not that, like a can of biscuits, Betty. I see what you're thinking. It's not my fault.
I'm just saying they might be ripping because it's a bit tight.
They're fraying. They're skinny jeans, but they're fraying. and so I got that hole in my knee the old-fashioned way. Like, the people that buy them completely ripped up where the whole leg is gone.
Yeah, it's a bit ridiculous.
You didn't earn that. No, if you were mauled by a bear and you came out of the woods and, like, your jeans are missing the front part of them. Absolutely. Earned it.
Wait a minute. Are you putting yourself on the same level as people with holes in their jeans because of a bear attack and you with your tight jeans?
Yeah, I earned it. I stretched these out myself.
And I'm good with that. You know, one or two well-earned holes, you deserve that.
There you go.
Yeah. Like you said, the whole side gone or the t-shirt completely shredded. Like, not so much.
What is something from the past other than dinosaurs that you would love to see brought back to life, Tammy?
I would love to see big 80s hair.
Oh, now Betty Rock, you were not a high school. You were born in the 80s, like the late 80s. So you didn't get to experience it. You have big hair, and it's one of the things you take pride in. You would have thrived in the 80s.
I've seen yearbook pictures from the 80s. Tammy, maybe your yearbook picture was the same, but it was like the photographer had to pan back so far to get all the hair in the photo that the face is just so small.
Yeah.
All right, Tammy, what hairspray did you use? I'm curious. We're going to say it on three, okay?
Wait a minute. You're chiming in on this?
Oh,
you're
saying
because
you
used women's...
I had big 80s hair. I had to hairspray it every day for my construction worker job. I was living the life. I was a hairband guy. Okay, so on three, Tammy, we're going to say the hairspray we used. One, two, three. Aquanet.
Aquanet.
There it is, see? I'm telling you, man, Aquanet was the stuff. It was cheap, and it would make your hair stand straight up. Betty Rock, and this is a true story, her hair is so big that she got stopped at TSA and they looked in her hair because they thought she was smuggling something, and she just sat there the whole... I've never seen her that happy.
It was so great. It was such a huge compliment when they're like, sorry, we have to do this. I'm like, no, it's fine.
Keep going. They did find three cats and a bag of chips, which was weird.
People, please.
Uplifting Way FM, this is The Wally Show, and I know I'm a curmudgeon on things, but there are things that make me just go, people, please. Like, really? This is what we're doing now? Dog beds for humans.
Yeah!
No, not yeah. Like, and here's the thing, there's two college kids that started them. How about you go and, like, take real college classes and stop wasting your parents' money? No, the saddest part of this is it'll make money. They started a Kickstarter, and you can buy a human dog bed for $350, okay?
Wow.
Do you want to know what a human dog bed is? It's a big dog bed.
Yeah.
That's it.
I think that it's silly, but like last night, my wife and I were watching a movie, and she she falls asleep during a lot of things. And so at one point, she had crawled onto the floor.
Okay, she likes to watch TV on the floor?
Yeah, and so she was cuddling with our dog, who was in her bed, and she had her head on her dog bed.
Okay.
And then she fell asleep there. And in my head, I was like, man, and then it took me forever to wake her up.
Right.
I wish she had had just a human dog bed.
I have a
there.
Great idea for you. For your anniversary, buy her a human dog bed.
Just might.
See who has to sleep in it more. I'm telling you, it ain't going to be her.
That's fair.
So the two guys behind it said they're both big nappers. Oh,
Gen I love
Z,
naps.
You're killing me. How about your work?
They worked on a dog bed for humans.
They saw a friend of theirs make a Great Dane dog bed, but they realized it was big enough for people to sleep on, but it wasn't comfy enough for human standards. So they used memory foam and it's still a dog bed, and they're gonna sell them for $500 after Kickstarter.
I would like to check back.
That's
in.
That's a mattress.
I would like to check back in with them in a year and see how well they've done.
Because
here's the thing. It could be a bonding experience between you and your dog if you're both in dog beds. And who's to say you and your dog could cuddle in the human dog bed? It's a win-win.
Do not defend this.
I think it's cute.
This is where they lack people in their lives that go, look, come up with a couple good ideas. I'll tell you which ones are bad. This is a bad idea, you know? And like, you might have four other ones. Don't waste time on this one. Because what is a human dog bed? It's a dog bed. You know, what about, how about dog food for humans? No one wants that. You know, poop bags for humans? We don't want that either. There's not things that we need that's a dog this. All right, stop being childish, both of you. For years and years and years, the dog has been man's best friend. But now chickens are edging their way into that spot because chickens are pretty awesome.
So awesome, in fact, that they have their own Chicken of the Month Club. And let's see if dogs can do that. This is where you can give two chickens to a family in need by only giving $28 a month.
If somebody were to give me two chickens and go, here you go, here are two chickens, do something with them, I would have no idea. I would probably name them. I would dress them up in sweaters. None of that does any good. But in developing countries, people know what to do with chickens. Chickens provide a ton of eggs, which can provide income for a family that is struggling to break the cycle of poverty. They also provide nutrition for families. Don't tell the chickens that part. But they also can sell the chicks in the marketplace. It's a great source of income. We all talk about side hustles. This is a way you can invest in a family to help them break the cycle of poverty for just $28 a month.
And it's by giving a chicken. So text the word chicken to 91979. That's chicken to 91979.
And all of this is made possible through our friends at Food for the Hungry. They do so much great work for the underserved and underprivileged, and you can be a part of that today. We'd love to have you get involved. Again, text chicken to 91979.
These are the least important stories out of Hollywood, but nonetheless entertaining. Here's Betty Rock with the least of these.
Chris Pratt, he was getting in some major hate on Twitter recently, and it wasn't for anything he'd done, but because of rumors and cancel culture.
Oh, that's always so much fun.
Yes. Chris Pratt has always been vocal about his stance as being a Christian, and because of it, it's put a target on his back, with many assuming and believing he attends a church that is not towards people that believe different from him. And this rumor is so highly believed that some got together on Twitter and asked that Pratt's character in Guardians of the Galaxy actually be recast.
Oh, so they hit up like the producer or executive producer?
On Twitter.
Oh, gee.
And they said because he is a Christian and Christians believe certain things that the world does not, then he needs to be canceled. He needs to be taken out of Guardians of the Galaxy and he needs to be recasted.
So great. I just love that a group of people that prides themselves on not being bigoted or judgmental, ironically, are as bigoted and judgmental as the people they claim to be. No one knows Chris Pratt. He's never said anything negative against anybody's lifestyle like that, but they're like, oh, you are associated with a church, you're a Christian, you are a bigot.
Yes.
Like, you are the exact example of what you hate and what you preach against, knucklehead, and you don't see it. That drives me crazy. You're getting a mini rant out of me here because it drives me crazy. Cancel culture is ridiculous.
Well, you will be happy to know that the director, James Gunn, he wasn't going to stand for
it.
So he went to bat for Pratt and tweeted back to the haters, quote, I know the church that Pratt currently goes to. Do you? The answer is you don't.
Exactly.
But you heard from someone who heard from someone where he goes to church. So you decided, yeah, okay, I'll believe this terrible thing I heard online about this celebrity.
I am so done. I am so done with cancel culture. I am so done with people who don't know each other, like taking like this, a friend of a friend of a friend said something, and then totally lumping somebody into a group that they feel is hate-ridden. And I'm just done with it.
Well, I hate that we automatically assume the worst in anyone and everyone, and then social media platforms give a voice to that.
Right. And again, it's usually a small group of people that are ridiculously loud, and I'm tired of not having my voice heard in that either. Like, okay, you're going to push back on me? You're going to cancel me because I go to a church? Well, you know what? No, I'm canceling you first. Take that. I'll see you're canceled, and I'll raise you two cancels. Whew. Boom.
Kind of regret that I brought this.
I know. But that's the reality. That's where we don't get anywhere, you know?
No.
And it's like having conversations, and I was being facetious, but having conversations with people before you jump to the place of canceling them, you might actually find you have common ground, because that's the reality is we actually, when we sit down and talk to somebody, a lot of times we'll find either mutual respect and agree to disagree, or we'll find, oh, you know what? We're actually not that different, mm-hmm. and we can find that common ground. But we never do that when our first instinct is to cancel. It drives me nuts. But I am tired about being quiet about this stuff and just taking it on the chin. I'm done with that. Absolutely done with that.
Ooh, yeah. We're taking a cleansing breath.
Ooh, okay. And then normally I save that kind of a rant for our aftercast, which you can get for free wherever you get your podcast. That's a taste of that. And so I gave you a little bit here.
Just text TWS for The Wally Show. So TWS to 91979. You'll get a link and you can hear little rants just like
this. Just pop up all the time out of random.
So what is TikTok and how do you use it?
Uplifting Way FM, this is The Wally Show. And you know what? TikTok, you can learn some things. There's some life hacks on there and stuff like that. And there was this lady who gave a little hack for telling her triplet nephews apart, because it's not easy. And when they're little, too, sometimes not even the moms are quite sure. Can you imagine if you got that mixed up for, like, years?
I'm sure it's happened.
Oh, it has to have. I mean, there's no way. So the hack was to paint each of their big toes a different color. and it's a good idea, but you got to keep it going, like, into their, like, teens or something, you know?
No, because eventually once they grow up, they'll look more like their individual selves.
Maybe, I don't know. But then you think, okay, like if you're pulling that twin or triplet switch thing on me, take your shoes off, you know? So maybe it's not true. A bad idea. But I thought, you know, because what if you forget one time or you run out of paint or nail polish, whatever you're doing. What if, okay, and maybe this is a bad idea, I'm not sure.
It's a bad idea.
Well, don't be judgy. what if you, when they were little, infant age, they get heel sticks all the time, like for drawing blood so that you can test things on them when they're little?
Needles?
What if you tattooed the bottom of their foot with a dot for like one, two dots for two, three dots for another one, and then when they get older, they could turn it into like a dice, you know, or something like that?
I'm going to go with that's a bad idea.
It's a bad idea.
I don't know.
You can't tattoo a child, infant.
Why do you have to be so judgy? Like, you know, like they're little. It's not. They're never going to remember it. And if it's literally just a dot, like, it's no more than a shot, and you know then who they are.
Well, yeah. You know, I'm thinking about there are a lot of people that will pierce the ears of infant babies.
Okay.
Now,
is that even any more cruel than a tightly little tattoo?
Poking a hole? Regardless.
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it's a bad idea. And if it is, then maybe you've got a better one for telling triplets apart or twins apart. I'm fine. I'm open to it.
Maybe you're a mom of twins
and
triplets.
You've done this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or if you're like, that's genius. I'm going to a parlor today and I might get one for mommy as well. There you go. You get three matching ones. It's so good.
Oh, gosh.
Okay. So, I mean, you can tell me.
It's a bad idea.
If it's a bad idea or not, or if it is, you give me a better one. Okay. Because I don't like complaints without solutions. Okay. So if you're going to say that's a bad idea, give me a better one. 855-33-WAY-FM is the number. That's how you can be part of the show. 855-33-WAY-FM.
It's a bad idea.
I mean, is that crazy?
That's a bad idea.
Really?
Yes. 30% of people that have tattoos carry the hepatitis virus. You could be giving the child hepatitis.
Okay. Like, I'm sure their immune systems are a little weaker, too, when they first get here. Okay.
You could just cut their hair differently.
Like, one kid gets a bowl cut, one kid gets a mullet.
Yeah.
I think I like that better.
Yeah, I don't know. Right then, the kid would be like, you know what? Give me the hepatitis. I'll risk it. I think I'm an innovator, but Tanya, what do you think?
I think we can do it a little bit simpler with just colored onesies. The babies are always in a onesie, under their clothes, constantly. So you just take it off, wash them, make sure you put that color right back on them.
Well, let me just throw out a little wrinkle in your plan there. It's called the husband. If you ever leave your husband alone with the kids, I guarantee you he's going to be like, it's a onesie. It doesn't matter what color. Just get the babies clean, dressed, and quiet. And your whole system is going to go out the window. But if you come home after a day of, you day at the spa, you come home and you're not sure the kids just don't seem right, all you have to do is look at the bottom of their feet, see the tattoo, and you're like, hey, why is Ricky in a yellow onesie? That's Jimmy's color.
Women are very good at planning for our days out. So we just get matching bags, and then everything he could possibly need will be in the matching bag.
So when he looks at a baby with a yellow onesie, he picks up the yellow bag. I mean, surely, goodness, no one married somebody that can't pick up a yellow bag with a yellow baby.
You are the eternal optimist, and you have definitely never been my wife. Because I would mess this up.
Especially because you're colorblind.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I couldn't do it. Uplifting Way FM, this is The Wally Show. And we all know what to do with our social medias when we're alive. You know, you post all your sandwiches on there and just things that make you happy or make you look good to other people. You just post it for everybody to see. But what about when you expire?
Oh.
And that's something most of us don't think about.
I don't want to think about it. I don't want to think about not being able to tweet something or post something.
Right. But what do you do if, like Wally said, you expire?
Or
you
somebody
pass
you love,
on?
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you do with their Facebook page or their Apple account? Well, did you know that Apple and Facebook have prepared for these things? And maybe it's something you want to look into yourself.
They've thought of everything.
They have. So on your Apple account, there's something called a legacy contact. And what it does is it lets that person, whoever you let be your contact, access your photos, your messages, and your notes.
I will tell you this. In all seriousness, I think it's a great idea because, like, we've had friends of ours, dear friends of ours, that lost their daughter, who's the same age as my daughter. They grew up together. And to be able to go back into her Facebook account and to see pictures of her, and it's healing, you know, and it makes her not forgotten, and it makes her, like, it gives her mom some peace, like she's still here with her, you know.
Well, like you were saying with Facebook, so Facebook has thought of this, and they have something called a memorialization setting. So what it does is it will allow you to name someone who can write posts for you, update your profile pic, and get a copy of everything you've ever posted.
Oh, see, that's good, man. It's hard when you lose somebody and you got to go through all of the steps with your dealing with just your grief in the midst of all of that. But so to have something that's been thought out that you could have a little bit of joy in the midst of that hard time is, I think, a really cool thing.
So if you're one of those people that likes to prepare, then that might be something you want to look at. Your legacy contact on your Apple account and your memorialization setting on Facebook.
It's funny because I don't have any of those accounts. Mine are all work. And so if I die, you get it all, Rock.
Yay!
You're the queen of this castle.
Well, that's the end, but it doesn't have to be. Check out our Aftercast. It's new stuff you didn't hear in the podcast. Be sure to rate us on iTunes as well as connect with us on social media. That's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. Just search Wally Show. And if you'd like to join our Facebook group made exclusively for you potties, the link is in the description of this podcast. Thanks to Colorado Christian University Online and United Faith Mortgage for supporting what we do.